Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are or will be listening around the world. We're going to be finishing up a series involving resurrection that we've been in for a number of weeks now. And this message in this session is Walking in Resurrection. And our scripture, there were a number of scriptures we could have used, but I decided it was probably a good idea to use a scripture from the Old Testament, one that you wouldn't necessarily think of about having something to do with resurrection. But actually it does, and it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 3 through 11. It says here, "You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the people on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you." And that, of course, is read from the New International Version so that all the English-speaking people around the world will understand each word with the same meaning. You will notice the scripture used to start this session that I just read to you reminds us of the beginnings, of the blessings, rather, of God. And the blessings of God began in the very beginning. Read the first chapter of the book of Genesis, where the first sound that man heard was that of God blessing him. Now, you may say, what does the scripture from the Old Testament have to do with resurrection and living, walking in resurrection? Doesn't the Old Testament only talk about law and condemnation? Not at all, my friends. But let's take a little bit of background look here. Well, I can see how those questions can be asked. Many people find it difficult to see how they could be encouraged by all the do's and don'ts of the Old Testament. But, you see, that is a part of the problem. A very big part of the problem. Many have never been taught a proper relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament. No one can truly appreciate just what Jesus the Christ did for those who would receive him and what he did by his death, burial, and resurrection unless you have a grasp of that. Now let's take a look for a second here, for just a minute, at Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. That was Galatians 3, 21 through 25. The law, you see, leads us to Christ. No one was going to be saved by the law. So we have this little issue here then of law and grace. Many are confused today about grace and law. Our knowledge of the law of Moses educates us as to what is godly. But since Jesus the Christ did, what Jesus the Christ did by fulfilling the law for us, we no longer have the burden of attempting to fulfill it ourselves. Let me say that again. Because of what Jesus did, you and I, as believers, no longer have the burden of fulfilling what Christ did for us on the cross. This statement may seem radical to many, but fulfilling the law of Moses was not its destruction, but its satisfaction. And you've heard me say in the past that if you have a home mortgage and you pay that mortgage off, you have not destroyed the law. You have simply fulfilled that agreement. That was not really law, but it was an agreement that you had that you were expected to live up to. But when you paid off the mortgage, you hadn't destroyed the mortgage. You had simply fulfilled and satisfied the terms of the mortgage. Jesus gave us a new way, which, when incorporated in the believer's life, really covered all aspects of life which man could not keep on his own. But with the Holy Spirit, all things are possible to those who believe. Jesus spoke of the rule of law as the most important. Jesus paid the price for all mankind in his work on the cross. This means that the only thing a person can do to put themselves in an eternal hell is not to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Let me say that again. This means that the only thing a person can do to put themselves in an eternal hell is not to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You see, Jesus paid the price for all our sins and all other sins that we might do. When a believer is set free by Christ, that believer is set free indeed and from all deeds of sin and the condition of sin. That's why it's so exciting as to what Jesus did. Walking in resurrection is just that. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things have become new. A believer has died to the sinful nature, and a new resurrected believer or being in Christ has come about. This is only difficult if we allow those who do not believe to define what our faith is and what Christ did rather than the Bible. Let me dwell on this for just a minute. One of the biggest mistakes that's been made by the body of Christ is we have allowed unbelievers to define us. That's like allowing the enemy to define you. Now, I'm not saying that they're really the enemy, but in point of fact, they are not in the kingdom, so they cannot understand kingdom things. And so when we try to satisfy and make them happy, at the same time we're trying to satisfy and make God happy, we find ourselves in a really precarious situation. We cannot allow unbelievers to define us. If you have somebody who hates you in town, and they go all over town telling people horrid things about you, you don't have to let that define you. But Christians have really basically done this. We've allowed ourselves to be maligned, anything to be said about us, to the point that in our nation today, you can speak only against Christians. Any other faith, you can't speak against, because that's hate speech. But when you're talking about Christians, suddenly that's okay. We allowed that to happen. We need to be defining who we are by what we do through the power that Christ has given us and the Holy Spirit working through us. That's how people need to be defining us. Because, you see, we can provide them with the experience of the flow of the power of God, which will wipe out any false definitions of what and who we are and what we're about. Because we serve a resurrected Lord, There are no bones laying in the grave someplace around the world that we can go and worship those dead bones, because they're not there. We serve a resurrection, a resurrected Lord. Now remember what I said. The only thing that a person can do to cause them to spend an eternity in hell is to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now you say, well, what about if somebody murders, and what about if somebody does that? Jesus paid the price for every sin and every sinner in the whole field. The scripture says he bought the whole field. So the only thing that prevents somebody from spending an eternity in hell is they accept Christ, because he's already paid for their sins. You've heard me talk about if you're given a gift and you never unwrap it, it's still your gift, but you never get the benefit of it. Salvation is just that very thing. Jesus paid the price for the whole field, for every human being ever, to the time that he comes back. Now, there will be an end to the age of grace, but he paid the price. We have people running around trying to somehow hear the message of grace, but still trying to save themselves by their good behaviors. Now, am I saying that we should just willy-nilly run around shooting people and fornicating and do all sorts of things? No, that's not what I'm saying. Because the new creature, that's not something the new creature wants to do anyway. Now then, if we find ourselves weighing a worldly view with a biblical view back and forth, rather than simply saying this is the Bible's way and this is the way it is, period, then, you see, we then will find ourselves denying our own resurrection. Because we, as believers, are resurrected beings. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Just as Jesus had a glorified body when he came out of the grave, we are new creatures in Christ. That's why it is so sad when you hear somebody say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, they're not. If they're a believer, they're not a sinner anymore. You see? Now you say, but they might sin. Well, that's true. But they're not in the condition of a sinner, and their sins are not remembered because of the work of Christ. We have so many people running around condemning other people, all sorts of horrible things, and even condemning themselves, not understanding who and what they are in Christ. The only thing that kept the first century church in trouble was the resurrection message. Read in the book of Acts. Read throughout the script. The only thing that kept the first century church in trouble was the resurrection message. You could believe anything, but they, remember in Acts, they hauled the apostles in and they said, well, you can do all this, but just stop preaching the resurrection. Well, that's what makes us different. That's what defines who we are. And not to accept the resurrection is not to accept our own resurrection, because when we accepted Christ, we died to sin and we were immediately resurrected as a new creature in Christ. Understanding who we are in Christ keeps us from being victims of every wind that blows, first this way and that way. Some will say to the believer that the believer is narrow-minded. Now you might hear this, that you're narrow-minded, close-minded, bigoted, and unreasonable. I see some head shaking. Yeah, you're going to be told that. These are the statements of a double-minded person, an uncertain person, who will be unstable in all their ways. You know, the Bible says that a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. When you hear that, what you're really hearing is, I don't know the answers, and because I don't know the answers, you don't know the answers either. In other words, they are judging you by themselves, all the while they claim you're judging them. I'll bet you found yourself in those very situations at times. And people go, oh, you're just so narrow-minded, you're closed-minded, you're a bigot, you're unreasonable. Well, first of all, let's look at the word unreasonable here for a second. That would mean that reason was the important thing. But you see, the scripture says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We do not have to be reasonable, because we are not people of reason. We are people of faith. Remember that. We're not people of reason. Reason comes from the Greek sophist group, who thought they were such hotshots and so smart because they could just argue all day over something, but nobody had truth. And they go, well, what is truth? Who knows what truth is? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except by me. Well, that answers the question for us. What's truth? Jesus is truth because he said so, and because he was resurrected. And not only was he resurrected, but he also had many, many, many others come out and be restored to their families at the same time he was resurrected. So it proved that it wasn't just for him. You see, this is what we're talking about when we talk about walking in resurrection. Walk in who you are in Christ Jesus. Do not let the world define you. Do not let the world make you defend yourself. You cannot reason the scripture with people. The reason you can't reason the scripture with people is because the scripture tells us they are blinded to it and it is foolishness to them. All we can do is give the gospel to them, the good news that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world in John 3:17, but that the whole world through him might be saved. That's the message. The message is what Jesus did, not, well, we think this is right or we think this is wrong. This is the message. We can't seem to stay on message. We let the world bounce us around and try to defend ourselves. We have nothing to defend. Do you understand that as a believer, you have nothing to defend? They either accept the gospel or they reject the gospel. They don't accept it because you're a great speaker. They don't accept it because you're pretty or you're handsome or you're whatever. They accept it because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And they will reject it that very same way. And nobody comes to the Father to the Son unless the Father draws them. So all we do is we give out the gospel. We give out the gospel. We never get away from the basics. We give out the gospel. We give out the gospel. We give out the gospel. Some will accept it, and some will reject it. You say, well, I know people would accept it if there was a great miracle. Let me ask you a question. How much bigger a miracle is there than some guy who suffered, died on the cross, 3 days later walks into town, and a bunch of other dead people come out of their graves with him? I consider that a big miracle. I consider that a very big miracle. And yes, many people, you know, we've been told that the Jews didn't accept Jesus. Excuse me, there were 3,000 added to the church in one day. You see, but the world defines it, and we go, oh, well, that's right, they didn't. Well, some did, and some didn't, just like you're going to find around you each and every day that you walk this planet. That's the way it is. That's the way it's always going to be. Until one day, when the time is closed, and then every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Those people that you love, those people you work with, those people you know, when would you prefer, because we know they're going to say it, when would you prefer they said it? Would you prefer to be in the line watching them and see that it's too late and they say it then? Are you going to stand there and put your thumbs in your ears and wave your hands back and forth at them and stick your tongue out and go, na 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 na? Or are you going to say, oh, if only, if only. It's a sad thing to live or end up with an if-only life. A sad thing. But some are going to say to you that you are narrow-minded, closed-minded, bigoted, or unreasonable. But those are the statements coming from somebody who doesn't have an answer to anything. Never forget that. Those are the people who are tossed around by every wind and wave that comes along. They're unstable people. Be that as it may, as long as the believer is Bible-minded and led by the Holy Spirit, the believer will be the head and not the tail. You say, well, sometimes I feel like the tail and not the head. Your spiritual life is not governed by how you feel. It's governed by the Word of God. How you feel has nothing to do with it. If you feel like you're a louse, that doesn't make you a louse. It just makes you feel like one. You see, if I feel like I'm not what I am, it doesn't make me not what I am. It just means that's how I feel. If I feel like I'm more than what I am, it doesn't make me more than what I am. But that's how I feel. We must define ourselves by the Word of God and only by the Word of God. We must understand our existence by the Word of God and only by the Word of God. Who is better able to bring that about but the Creator Himself? He went to all that it took to get the Scriptures to us. And we'll find everything that we can many times to do but spend time in those Scriptures. Wandering around looking for experts. Let me tell you something, my friend. The Bible, the Word of God, is an expert. And it is the expert of experts. It is from God the Creator. Very important. As I said, be that as it may, as long as the believer is Bible-minded and led by the Holy Spirit, the believer will be the head and not the tail, the victor and not the victim. Walking in resurrection is walking in the blessing of God. New resurrected creatures. True death will never see us. Oh, our bodies may see death. But true death, separation from God, will never see us. So the only thing that would cause a person not to be in fellowship with God is simply the rejection of Jesus the Christ. And why is that? Because He paid for all the things that they may have done 2,000 years ago. The Scripture makes it clear, and few people understand it. People say, oh yes, I've accepted Jesus, and now I've just got to work real hard so I can be perfect like Him. If you could be perfect like Him, He would never have had to come. You are a resurrected being already. When you accepted Christ, old things passed away, and behold, all things became new. So since you are a resurrected being, if you're a believer, then walk as a resurrected being. Live as a resurrected being. Talk as a resurrected being. Behave as a resurrected being. Let the Holy Spirit of God move through you. Walk in the blessings of God, because that is walking in resurrection. And that's my message for this session. Now, if you say, well, I didn't understand some of that. I didn't know some of that. I want to accept Christ. If you want to accept Christ, you can do it right now. Just go to the throne with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry I've missed out up to this point, but I finally heard it, and I'm responding to your pulling me, Heavenly Father, and drawing me to Jesus. I accept Jesus. I want Him in my life, in my heart, forever. I want His Holy Spirit in me. Send His Holy Spirit to me now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, my friend, you're in. You're a resurrected creature. You're a resurrected being. You are in the kingdom of God. That's a wonderful thing. Now you say, well, I've been a believer, or I thought I was a believer, and I didn't understand that. Pray the same thing. Just go to the Father and tell the Father. And just make sure that you let Him know that you want Jesus Christ as your Lord as well as your Savior. And that you want Him in you and His Holy Spirit in you. How do I know that He'll give you His Holy Spirit? It's very simple. He said He would. And if He said it, that's it. Well, my friends, as I said, that's our message for this time. If you need some help and you want some help, you can contact me, the Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. Just email me, the Sojourner. Sojourner is spelled Sojourner, the Sojourner at sojournershub.org. Or you can contact me on Skype over the internet, and that is the Sojourner 3734. Well, that's all for this message, and I pray this blessing on you, the blessing of our Lord on you, and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.